The Invest in Her podcast is brought to you in part by Wells Fargo Bank. Hi, I'm Katherine Gray, founder of She Angel Investors and co-founder of the She Angels Foundation. I'm also the podcast host of Invest in Her and an award-winning producer, author, and TEDx speaker. Our show, Invest in Her, features phenomenal female founders and funders. As you know, women receive less than 2% of venture capital funding. Our series is about accelerating the funding of women by connecting them to funding resources. Let's meet today's guest. Welcome to this week's edition of Invest in Her. I'm your host, Katherine Gray, founder of She Angel Investors and co-founder of the She Angels Foundation. And more recently, the producer and executive producer of Show Her the Money, which we are taking on a 50-city tour around the country and around the globe. So be sure to check us out at showherthemoneymovie.com. And I am so excited to have on such a amazing woman in this venture capital space. She is a trailblazer and an innovator. I am so excited to have on today Allison Byers, who is the CEO and founder of Scroobius. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Katherine.
I am excited to have you on because you are just such a change maker in this space. And I want to talk about all about it. I want to talk about how you got into this, what you're doing to make such a difference in the venture world, and also about some affiliations that you have with entities that other people might be interested in joining. So let's get started and talk about all that. So first of all, you have a very interesting background. There's so many women out there raising money, and I read that you had helped raise $10 million to create, is it a medical device?
Yeah, a medical device startup.
Yeah. So tell us first about that, like your fundraising experience and what you were raising money for and how that whole endeavor turned out. I feel like that'll be a real inspiration to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've had a very non-linear career path, which I talk about a lot and is turning into more the norm today. I'm going to go one step before the medical device startup and then dig into that. And that is the origin story for all of the work that I do now in the startup space. But I was a tech operator for over 10 years. I had, you know, just jobs for fairly high level jobs in venture backed startups. And I was actually forced out of my job when I came back from maternity leave with my first child. And that break in my career is what led me to entrepreneurship. And I love to bring it up, particularly in platforms like yours, where a lot of women are listening, because this is so common and people just don't really talk about it. But that originally sparked my love of startups, is it is a legitimate career path, and one that is, it allows mothers in particular to continue their careers and pursue things that allow them to contribute to society in the way that they want.
So well said. Me, well said. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not an easy thing. And it does. It is a perfect fit for motherhood in many ways. And you're the perfect example of it. And so many people do end up having to leave a job and then like, now what? And what an opportunity that usually tends out to, you know, to be to push you in that direction. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I talk openly now. I didn't for a long time. I was home for 4 years. I did not know how to go back to work. My oldest is 13 now. So this was, 13 years ago when it happened, but I'm highly educated, highly paid. The idea of fractional work didn't exist back then, really. I honestly didn't know
how. And I want to say, and look at you now. Breaking all kinds of barriers.
I'm trying. But it's part of where the passion comes from is, that allowed me to get into it. But it also was a huge learning experience for me because I didn't know what I was up against when I joined those scientific founders to launch a medical device company. My background is in analyzing large data sets to understand the human behavior behind it and impact change. And back when I was, in a tech operator role on behalf of my clients, now I'm doing it for social driven missions. The medical device company was in the Alzheimer's detection space, and it was, something that I, it was a great innovation to put out there in the world. But, you know, I had a crash course. I, you know, incorporated the company. We, you know, found our legal representation, negotiated with MIT's trade license office because it was spun out of MIT in a hospital system here in Boston. Over, you know, saw clinical trials. We were a regulated medical device, and yes, did the fundraising. And we did raise about $10 million for that company, going through all the different funding channels. So we raised, you know, originally what you would call a friends and family or an angel round. We went up through a Series A prime. We had institutional capital. We got grants from foundations and from the government, all the things, and we were revenue generating. And at toward the end of that story, what happened is I was challenged to raise our Series B. And this happens to a lot of women in particular, is we couldn't get the big checks we needed.
And let's just interject to people listening that might not understand what a Series B is. Let's talk about what that means.
Sure. Yeah. So as you're raising, if you're raising equity rounds of capital, so people are purchasing shares of your company, right, and they become owners, you go through a series of needs for that money and for the shares that you're giving away as you build value into your company.
And isn't the Series A usually a certain ballpark of money, and then the Series B is usually a larger ballpark of money? And could you share, if you know, what those ballparks might be?
Yeah, it does range.
It's a big range, isn't it?
It is. The name of your round is just as much storytelling as your pitch is. So that's why, you know, I talk about we did a Series A prime, which is not quite a bridge round, but it means, you know, there's some finessing between a Series A and a Series B as you're going out to raise. But typically a Series A is after you've reached some significant value driving milestones in your company. So you have your product or your offering, it's out there, you're typically generating revenue, you have grown the company, you've already raised a fair amount of money in earlier rounds. And once you get past a Series A, when you're in Series B or C, it just goes along the alphabet, you are a bigger and bigger company, right? And you have more and more historical sales data to go off of, or you've reached more and more milestones. Like if you're in the life sciences area, you have that FDA clearance, or you have a new regulatory pathway, or you've protected your intellectual property. It's a bigger company, and therefore you need bigger check sizes, which are, you know, we raised that $10 million from start through a Series A prime. That next round was, you know, $20 million, right? You're really hitting the big checks now,
right,
to build a bigger company.
Yeah. And how interesting that you fell into that and learned all about that to really be doing what you do now. So taking all of those, you know, research type of things that you do, and then combining it with seeing how hard it was for women to raise money in venture capital, having done it yourself, and kind of combining that into your current business, Scroobius, and your activism. So let's talk about both. First of all, Scroobius. I know it's probably on your website, but let's tell on the show, where did you get the name Scroobius? And let's tell people what that platform does, because it's amazing.
Yes, thank you. I love telling the story of the name because I know it's a funny one. But just to wrap up where that fire came from for what we do now, the end of that story of the medical device company is we ended up going to early acquisition when we weren't able to raise what we needed from that Series B. And we were acquired in what's called an asset sale. So this happens a lot, and particularly with female-led companies, is someone acquires you primarily for your assets. So people aren't making money off of it. And it was, you know, a loan that's pretty, that can be traumatic for people to go through. But on top of that, the men who acquired our company pretty soon after raised $55 million.
Wow.
And for me, that was when I said, okay, what happened?
Why couldn't you raise it and keep the company rather than letting them have to acquire it? And then they easily got the money. That's the whole point of everything you and I are doing. Like, Show Her the Money, our movie, is just about that. Why are women only getting 2%? And why is it so darn hard for them to get funding and so easy for men, sometimes with not even as great ideas? But that's a whole nother story.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, Catherine, what I found when I, my original, you know, delving into this space was, how could that have happened? And then you hear, you read the statistics, right? I did all my research and you find the 2% number. And I said, this is, I can't believe how imbalanced this is. And it made me realize that I didn't fail, because that's what you walk away from an experience like that with, is I failed. How did I do that? I didn't fail. The system failed me, and to a point of such extreme inequity that there must be innovation. Some people must innovate, because this is not sustainable. And that's, you know, for me, when I said, well, I'll innovate, I'll be part of that. I'm not going to wait around for someone else to do it. So the more I researched, the more I just became obsessed with being a change maker in this space and creating more diversity in who gets to participate in our innovation economy. So I do that in four different ways. You've laid out two now, but I'll answer your question and start with Scroobius. So the name Scroobius is actually from a poem called The Scroobius Pip, which is by 19th century poet Edward Lear. People know his works, but not necessarily his name. But in any case, the poem, it's children's poetry. It's 2 pages long. It's all about a creature that enters the animal kingdom that is a little bit of every animal, the Scroobius Pip. And the whole poem are the animals trying to figure out where it belongs. How do we classify you? Which of us are you? And at the end, they celebrate it, because it can't be classified, and it's unique, and it's happy. It's a happy ending. And for me, it really struck, you know, for those of us who are Scroobius, who don't fit in a bucket, we're the unique opportunity where you generate alpha, where you generate a return if you're an investor, and we should be celebrated for it.
So that's love that. I love that. That's a beautiful name choice. And I love that explanation. So, and it's such a cool, fun name.
It is. Hard to spell, but you remember it.
and tell us what the platform does, because it's amazing.
Yeah. So the platform, it's a scalable tech platform, and it serves three primary stakeholders. So first, we serve founders. We have an online platform they access, full of expert-led, really high-quality micro lessons, personalized guidance on draft material, and a robust community full of events to bring affordable, accessible, high-quality pitch and fundraising education to everyone. All founders should be able to access this. It shouldn't be restricted to those who can afford expensive pitch coaches and other great services, but they're out of reach for the majority of underrepresented founders. And we do focus on those who identify as underrepresented. Founders through our platform then create really comprehensive pitch material, so a deck and an introductory video that they can choose to publish to our investor-facing side. On our investor-facing side, we focus on angel investors. So I know, Catherine, we have a lot of shared passion behind angel investors here, who are more diverse, more likely to fund those founders, and who are leaving a huge amount of uninvested capital on the table because they struggle to find those founders they want to put their dollars behind. There's a lot of research, you know, showing that that's the case. And we curate for them opportunities based both on the businesses they're looking for, but also on the characteristics of the founder, which are paramount for angel investors. And that's part of recording a video and part of the data that we collect from working with founders on their side of the platform, is we can actually measure things like passion and coachability, the style of somebody's presentation, so that we can curate based more on these intangibles, the human elements, in addition to the business elements. So that's
and
the
I
core.
Love that, since investors put such an emphasis, or should, on the founder, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you might love the idea, but who is the founder? Can they execute this? Do you relate to them? Which then goes back to, you know, I did this TED talk called Fund Women Save the World. And I know you know this, the research shows that people tend to invest in people they identify with. It's just a fact. You can't change it. And so that's why we need more women and BIPOC and LGBTQ at the decision-making table of who is getting the investment money. They have to be the dispersers of the investment money. This is why we're taking our Show Her the Money movie on the road to help people understand more about angel investing, venture capital investing, and why more women should be participating in this so that we see them at that table deciding who's getting the investment money. That's what needs to change. That's what you're working on. That's what I'm working on, which brings me to also your activism. So let's talk about the exciting news of this past year when you were here in California, because I know you're typically in Boston.
Yeah.
You were at the Senate chambers here in California, convincing them that they should sign a law into place called Bill 54 that Governor Newsom actually signed. Tell everybody what that bill does to help make some change about this underfunding of underserved communities in the venture capital world here in California that we hope to see in other states, right?
Yes, absolutely. And this is another element of when I had began that obsession of doing something. One is my own company, but another is this activism work and really having an impact in the plumbing of the system, if you will, our regulations, which are so powerful in enacting change. And the bill in California, it's a landmark bill. This is the first legislation that touches venture capital that's out there. And we very strategically focused at our bill team. So I was out there testifying. I was also part of the team that wrote the bill and carried this through. It was really focused on data, which is a huge issue. If you don't report to the government demographic information about the investments that they have made, so we can really have an understanding and transparency to the public of where investing dollars are going.
This automatically gives them an accountability factor, right? That's, we always need accountability to even start to create change, right?
Exactly. And we've already seen impact of this because California is responsible for 36% of venture capital allocated.
Wow.
This has a global impact, right? Funds who invest in California companies will be reporting. This is everywhere. And one of the offshoots we've already seen happen is the Venture Alliance that came in New York State. There's 60 funds in New York who agreed, who signed on to this alliance to measure and do better, right? And invest in more underrepresented groups, particularly along gender and race lines. It comes from the fact that we were able to pass this legislation, that there is now law. We are already seeing positive impacts.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you for championing that. And it's so exciting because now we hope to see it in other states. I think something similar is brewing in Massachusetts, I think. Right.
Different bills. I'm involved in that, too, and testifying here in Boston.
Wow.
But yes, the bill here is focused on expanding workplace harassment and discrimination protections to the fundraising process, to the investor investee relationship. And I mean, I can tell you firsthand, we've worked with over 650 founders in Scroobius, just in my company in the past couple of years. I've heard countless stories of sexual harassment, sexual abuse, and just all kinds of terrible things that are ripe in the fundraising environment that don't happen in other places. We have protections, not that they don't happen, but there's protections there and there's nothing in this space. So there is a Massachusetts bill that we're pushing. It's a grassroots effort, a different flavor. But I am now currently working with other states and anyone who's interested in pursuing similar legislation on either side, whether it's protections or the data pathway of California SB 54. I welcome them to contact me. We're actively working through how to help them pursue that similar legislation.
And, you know, I know I've been contacted by people in other countries like Sarah King in UK and Maren Murphy in Ireland. And they, too, are trying to champion laws to help, you know, change this an imbalanced situation. And I think it is going to take laws to actually make people accountable, to actually create the change. And it's also why we're taking our film on this 50-city tour to educate people about this so that we get a groundswell of women understanding the space and then investing in the space. You know, with I say this all the time, women coming into trillions of dollars in the coming decade, we want to make sure that they understand how important it is that part of their portfolio goes into investing in women, BIPOC, and LGBTQ, and how lucrative an investment opportunity it can be. It should be part of their asset classes that they're investing in for many reasons, because yes, it's profitable, but also because it makes such an impact in the world. And isn't it a beautiful thing when you can do both? Right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what, you know, Marsha Dawood from the Angel Capital Association talks about, this doing well by doing good.
Yeah, and I love Marsha Daywood. She is an investor in our film and an associate producer and a real trailblazer herself. So
absolutely.
Yes.
And it's true that this is an enormous opportunity to generate returns. These underrepresented founders themselves, we consistently show in the research, we deliver more per dollar invested, and we are working in markets that are underestimated because the traditional check writers, you know, men who control over 90% of venture dollars, don't have the lived experience to see the value there is in building in these markets that we are. And there is enormous potential. It also is required for the innovation that we want to see happen in healthcare, happen in climate, happen in all kinds of social justice issues that we care about. And if we don't, like you said, invest our dollars, especially at the early angel stages, we're not going to see improvements in healthcare for women. We're not going to see improvements in climate change because we're the ones working on it. And you can be part of the change you want to see while also earning a profit.
I love that. So I want to wrap up by talking about All Raise, because All Raise is something that you co-chair in Boston, and then it's in other parts of the country. Let's talk about what All Raise is and why maybe a listener might want to be a part of that.
Yeah. So All Raise is a great national nonprofit. And this is when I talk about the four things that I, you know, do to feed that obsession of making a difference. It's my own company. It's legal activism. It is working with nonprofits like All Raise, and it's being an angel investor myself. So I've also done 11 angel investments into underrepresented founders myself. And All Raise is very focused on supporting and enabling women to be in check writing positions. So they're in the venture space more. We're in the venture space more. And we do a lot of work understanding these ecosystems and bringing community and resources together so that we can get more women in those check writing positions. And, you know, venture as an industry has evolved through an apprentice model. So for an industry that started with all men, they had all male apprentices, and it still happens. And it's really not surprising when you think about that model to know why so many dollars are still controlled by men. We need more women in that model as well. And that's a part of the work that All Raise does for check writers, is a lot of gathering women who are in senior positions, women who are breaking into venture, and then bringing them together with founders as well, particularly women, we have a women focus, so that we can all build that connective infrastructure in a more personal and human way. And again, all aimed at redirecting capital to where it needs to be, both on the check writer side and the check receiver side.
I love that. Can you mention some of the cities that All Raise is located in for our listeners?
Sure. You can't go to allraise.org and the chapters are listed there, but it is a national nonprofit with volunteer led regional chapters in certain cities. Boston is a great one. That's where I am. I co-chair it. I welcome anyone to contact us and sign up for our newsletter. We hold a lot of great events here. There's a chapter in New York and Miami. It started in California. But if you go to the website allraise.org, you can see all the locations and everyone who's on each steering committee.
Love that. Love that. Oh, my gosh. When do you sleep?
You know, you're the third person to ask me that today. the one last thing, if I can, Catherine, that I want to throw in there.
Oh, my God. Not another thing. No, I'm just kidding you.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding you. I love everything you're doing.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say it. With Scrooby, as my own company, part of our mission is to make these resources that we have available without having to charge founders. It's something I believe very strongly in. And our growth has come from working with partners. So we actually work with service providers, law firms, accounting firms, and consultants, those who service startups, also universities, accelerator programs. And it's an enormously valuable triple win where they cover accounts for founders to be able to have access to everything that we offer. And we provide to them very qualified one-to-one introductions to founders who also really need their services and are looking to expand their network. So that's been our growth. And if there's any service providers listening who are interested in getting involved in our diverse community, we would love to chat.
And so you're saying some of that could be donating their time and some of it could be acquiring new clients.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We reach just an incredible audience of entrepreneurs and investors at the early stage. We are diversity first, and we have an authentic brand we've built up over 3 years. So we provide that outreach, and it is a great way for these companies to expand who they're reaching and their pipeline and start a relationship on a real value drive versus just, you know, a commercial sale.
I love that. What a great mindset. What a great strategy. Love it. Love the work you're doing. I know your heart and soul is in it. Really appreciate it. And please, everybody, check out Scroobius, check out AllRaise, check out these new laws and see how you can get behind us moving them forward, especially if you're in the political space. I know we're going to be going to DC to also try to champion some things on a national level through Show Her the Money. Visit Scroobius. Is it Scroobius.com?
Yeah.
Scroobius.com. If you're a founder, if you're a funder, please check that out. You can also find Allison on LinkedIn, I take it?
Yep. I'm very active on socials. You can find me on LinkedIn. That's my primary one right now. And with AllRaise too, if you get involved with AllRaise, I know in Boston, we're working to host Show Her the Money here. I can't wait to see the full film and have your presence in Boston. It's such an important film. So that's another way to get involved as well.
Yes. Thank you for that plug. And I'm going to send everybody to showherthemoneymovie.com to see our schedule. So you'll know when we're in Boston or wherever, Dallas, Houston, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, we're going everywhere. And it's going to be so wonderful to meet people in person and have these in-person conversations about this, because this is what we need to be doing. Women need to learn about it, get excited about it, find out how fascinating it is and engage in it, because it's going to take us all coming together as a village, right, to make this happen as change. And we need the men to get behind it too. We've had such wonderful response from men seeing the movie saying, hey, I have daughters. I want to get involved. We want things to improve. So it's a very exciting time to be involved with Allison and I. I know we hope that you'll follow us on, LinkedIn. Of course, I'm on there as well as Allison. And you can follow Show Her the Money on Facebook and Instagram and wherever you would find us on social. And also SheAngelInvestors.com is my site as well. So one of those, you'll find us and just join us in this movement and in this focus to change the underfunding of women in the venture capital and angel investing space. you can be a part of that change, and we hope that you will. Thank you so much for tuning in, Allison. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest. Make it a great day, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.